Good to see everybody out the house of the Lord this morning. And glad to be with you in this homecoming. And I don't know why, but I thought, well, I don't have a message for homecoming. And I never even thought about being homecoming, you know. But I felt like this is what the Lord wanted me to preach, so I guess I'll just preach it anyway. And we did enjoy Brother Randy coming by, and Sister Mary made us a pecan pie. And I don't know why she even thought we didn't like it. It had a good taste to it. It was, you know, kind of off the roof of your mouth. Otherwise, you know, it's all right. Yeah, that's when we done that somehow, she forgave us. Some way, some years later. Glad to have her with us this morning, with me. She slows me down a little. She reminds me that we're in our 80s and we're supposed to stop on the way down here and get a motel.
Yeah.
And so I stopped, got a motel, and then we came on across into London, then on across into Hazard, then down through Whitesburg, and that's where we come down here. But we enjoyed the trip. And I was coming into Winchester, Kentucky there, and come up over the hill, and I had, when I was down here, Brother Mike Roberts, I'd had one eye operated on, and took a cataract off of it, and then took the other one off this other one, and so I've seen these mountains again for the first time.
Yeah.
I don't know how many years ago I came down here, but I preached this probably 36, 37 years ago, preached homecoming down here that long ago. But I know it was at least 36, maybe 37. But it's like seeing the mountains for a brand. After I got that eye operated on, I saw those mountains again, and they were more beautiful than ever. And I was coming into Winchester, Kentucky, and Sister Barnett was asleep back there. She loves to travel in the mountains so she can sleep. But anyway, she don't care much for those. You know, traveling, that's not her big thing. But anyway, I was coming in, and I come up over that mountain, saw Winchester, and there's a whole bunch of little mountains in there. And it looked like to me someone had been making giant drop biscuits, you know what I mean? Just, you know, it just, it's so pretty. And I thought of drop, I don't know why, but I thought of drop biscuits or drop fudge or something like that, you know, where you just, here and there. Well, may the Lord bless you. I'm glad I'm here. And I hope the Lord helps us. And it sounds like he's got a good bunch gathered up to help me. And maybe I'll help them. But I don't want to take too much time. I want to get into this. I feel like I've got the Lord's will on this. But I don't know how it'll turn out. But you just pray for me. I'd like to go to Hebrews, second chapter. I want to read a few verses there. Maybe nine verses in Hebrews, second chapter. I was going to quote it, but I thought maybe if you read it with me, you'd remember it better. And if you'll just kind of leave that open there, I'll refer back to this a time or two before I get through preaching. Hebrews, second chapter, verses 1 through 9. Therefore, we ought to give them earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken to angels is steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by our Lord, and then was confirmed to us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness both to signs and wonders and divers miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world come while we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him, you know, I don't know if I'm even quoting that right. I've got all mixed up here. A son of man that thou visitest, thou madest him a little lower than angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, For that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing he's not put under him. Now is he not yet all things put under him? But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for suffering death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. May God bless you. You may be seated. I've got to thinking, didn't even know if I was even quoting it right. I didn't know if I was even the right chapter or not. You kind of confused me. But anyway, these glasses, I'll be moving them around a lot because I wore glasses for years and now I don't have to. And I can read some down there like that, but I put them on, it's better. But I'm uncomfortable, so I don't know what I'm doing with them. But some time ago, I was sitting in my study and reading a message, and I didn't really get a lot out of it. It's written in, I don't know, the book was published in 1949, and it's on mathematics and a lot of stuff that wasn't of interest to me. There's one thing that did interest me, and I kept it. But what got me was the verse that this man used. It was Psalms 8:4, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" And his thought was, does God care? And so I just read that through. I like his other messages, and I've used some of his stuff. But this one, I really didn't care anything out of about it, but I couldn't get away from that. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And does God really care? And I felt like maybe I ought to use it, but when I look back over things, you know, there's a lot of things that make you question your mind. The reason why, and I'm sorry that we have that reason for my wife being here, but the reason why she's with me is because my son passed away the 1st of February, and Brother Bobby questioned prayer for him every service, so I appreciate that. And but so I watched him suffer for years, you know, 9 years, and the last 6 especially, he suffered pretty bad, I would say terribly, because I was with him. But anyway, I saw that, and, you know, I looked at that, and I looked at the world's circumstances, and I wondered, is God really taking any notice of the things that are happening? You know, look at the wickedness, the lack of justice, the suffering, and the suffering from wickedness. And the suffering from the lack of justice, and sickness and disease. And you know, when I get to a place like this, I wish it's just able. I wish I was able to see the Lord heal everybody that's here. That'd just be such a blessing to me if you could be healed. Amen. And it seems like that the wicked are in control in every way. Job said this when he was sick. And sometimes whenever we're having difficulty, we look at things a little different. Job said this. He said, "Even when I remember, I'm afraid, and trembling taketh hold on my flesh. Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, and are mighty in power." Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever look around?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like Brother Webb now. I'm asking a bunch of questions I don't expect you to answer, you know. But in several places in the world right now, Christians are suffering martyrdom. They're being killed, slaughtered for the name of Jesus. And worse than that, some of them are even going through things worse than death. I'll be honest with you. I don't recount it. I don't name it. But it's terrible when you hear of the things that young girls and women and boys are suffering now at the hands of the enemy. Amen. It's a terrible thing. So I asked myself a question again. Is God mindful? Does he really care? You know, I don't know. Brother Holden, of course, just put away his wife. He lost her to brain cancer. Brother David Lee Horton's wife's battling that right now. Brother DeGonia's wife, they tell me, in Joplin's battling that right now. And, you know, so we got all these things and we say, and besides that, we've got things that are happening in the home, unfaithfulness and rebellion and things that really seem like they're out of control. And so I asked myself a question when I looked at this. You know, when I think about the church members that are beset with health problems, I said before, and home problems. Is God mindful? Does he really care? Does he really care? But as I thought about that, I think that I can truthfully say, yes, God is mindful and God cares. Now, if you're going through a trial right now, that you may not see that right now, but in time, I think you will see it. But here's the thing that got me when I was praying about this. The Bible said there in Hebrews 2:7-8, thou didst set him over the works of the hand, talking about what is man, thou hast put in all things in subjection under his feet. So when I look at that, I got to thinking, man is in control. What man is doing is what we're having to deal with. God did this. Now, one good thing about it, and I hope I'm not getting ahead of myself, but the Bible said we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate man. Did you know that? Yes. Hallelujah. And one of these days, he'll be completely in control. The man Jesus will be. You remember in the book of St. Luke, I might can find it right here right quick and get in this and just read it to you. When the Lord is talking to Mary about Jesus, the angel was, he said, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So when we say Jesus, we see the one that's Lord of lords and King of kings. Amen. And there come a time, praise the Lord, there come a time, I'm looking for the Lord to come, and I'm looking for the Lord to catch us away out of this world. And I don't know just how it all got figured out, but there's something else that's knocking on my mind, and that is the fact there's going to come a time when the Lord's going to sever the wicked from among the just. I believe that's when he's sitting on the throne, don't you? He's going to take the tares out of the wheat. He's going to take the bad fish away from the good fish. And it may even be when it talks about coming and catching one away and leaving one. I don't know. It may be that the bad is being took away and the others left behind. The Bible said the meek shall inherit the earth. I don't know just how that's going to be. I really don't know about that, because I'm more interested in Jesus coming than I am the other. You see what I'm saying? But when the Bible says we see Jesus, man is going to win. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. And man's going to win. You just put it down. There'll come a time we'll have 1,000 years of peace. Now, you may not believe in that, but I believe in that. I don't know how it's all going to work out. I ain't got it all figured out, Brother Jeffrey Dyke. But I believe it's going to happen, just like you said. It's like Brother Webb said, or Brother Randy said about the word of the Lord. And that's the thing that's really good, is when you realize that this thing we're looking at, man is judgment bound. You may have these child molesters. You may have people in control. You may have judges. Let them get by with it. Various things is happening right now that we couldn't imagine. Back 10 years ago, we couldn't imagine what was going to happen right now. But I want to tell you something. When the Bible said in Ecclesiastes, rejoice, O man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the sight of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into the judgment. Amen. So he's telling us, God intends for us to enjoy life. He intends for us to have a good time as far down there, enjoy the things. But remember this, if we get perverted and warped and we go in the other direction, we join those that are rebelling against God. It doesn't matter how much you rebel. It doesn't matter how high you climb on the ladder of success. There will be a day when you'll stand before God and give account for everything you did down here. Huh? Amen. So I'm talking to you this morning about what is man that thou art mindful of him. And I think that we can understand this when we realize that God gave us something, and Brother Webb's all right. I thought he was going to preach my message. And that is the fact God gave us something to guide man, and that's his word. That's, he shows he cares by his word. Do you remember whenever God was bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt and had them out there and bring them on into Canaan land? He told them there'd be a time when they'd want a king. And he told them how he wanted that king. Listen to what he said. He said, to help man in his position to be in charge, God gave him his word, and he said, for the king. It said, when thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee. I'm skipping over some things. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law of the book, out of which is before the priests the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law, and that these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand, nor to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. God said, amen, if a king will take this book, it will keep him humble, amen. We need that, don't we? He said if the king would take this book, and if he take it not to the right hand of the commandment. In other words, don't try to impress, approve it. Just take it like it is. Not go to the left hand. Not try to water it down and weaken it. Just take it like it is, amen. But if he'll do this, he said he would live and be in the midst of Israel. That is, amen, he would be in the hearts of the people. Not only would the people be glad to have him for a king, they'd be glad to have his children as his successors because he went by God's word. Huh? Hallelujah. Oh, I wish our dear president could get that in his heart, don't you? Would you like to see him sit down and say, this is what I'm going to go by. This is what I'm going to live by. This is what he claims to be a Christian. And when I say this, I want to tell you something. When I preach this morning, I'm going to mention the church, but I'm not just mentioning the Holiness Church down here at King Mountain. Right. I'm talking about the Presbyterian. I'm talking about the Baptist. I'm talking about the Methodist. I'm talking about the Lutheran. I'm talking about every church that claims to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And so things we got to realize. Amen. God put man over things down in this earth. In fact, I told my people when I was preaching and had a church to pastor, I said, given time, man will solve problems. He solved them over and over when it looked like they couldn't solve them in medicine and various things. Man has done some tremendous things because God set him here and put him over the work of his hands. Amen. He made man to be a ruler, but if man doesn't rule well, if man rules wickedly, God will bring him into the judgment, and we are a judgment-bound people, and we're a judgment-bound nation. I hope you understand that. Amen. So when we're talking about this morning, when it says, does God care? Yes, God cares, because he gave us, amen, something that would promise to bless us and lead us and guide us and direct us and keep us, amen. But you see, man, whenever we look at these things, we decide what we want to do and what God thinks we think God thinks he wants us to do. We don't want to take his word. We want to take what we decide. And they say, God has got to love, and I don't have to worry about it. That's not so. I'm trying to preach to you this morning, and I really know I'm not doing too good, but I'm not really feeling too bad either. All right? There's a scripture that we like to use, and it's happened. We really started using it after 9/11, you remember? That is a scripture where it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. Why? You know, people don't feel like, well, I belong to church, so I'm all right. Are you living wickedly? You know, the thing about it, listen, when we think about the church, look at this. In the Bible, the book of Revelation had seven churches. One of them God had nothing bad to say about. Then another two didn't have anything good to say about. In the last church, the church of the Laodiceans, it was a church that hijacked him. And they took the church plumb out of his control. The others said the church is at Ephesus, the church at Ennis, the church in that church. But he said the church of the Laodiceans, it was their church. They took it over. And yet God so loved them that he was standing at the door and knocking and said, if any man will hear my voice, even though the church has been hijacked from under me and they don't have anything that resembles anything that I want, amen, yet I'm here to deal with the individual that if they will listen to me and mind me and do what I said, I'll have communion with them. They'll have communion with me, and we'll enjoy the same fellowship that I've always enjoyed with mankind on an individual basis. That's not in my notes, but it's just the way it is. Amen. I'm not trying to be smart. But the Bible said that I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's something I'd never noticed before. And we use it for people that are sick, but it's really for a nation. Listen, Psalms 101:7 and 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. What's the course that we can get on that'll bring healing to this nation? Get his word. Amen. Amen. Get his word. Get his word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If we want to be healed, and if a church wants to be healed, they'll have to get back to thus saith the Lord. We can't go by, and I don't mean this bad. I love goosebumps. I love shouting. I love dancing. I especially enjoyed the singing this morning, and those children, everything blessed my heart this morning. There wasn't a thing. I even enjoyed Brother Randy's, exhortations, you know. I always enjoy that. I really do. I always look forward to whatever he's going to say. He always says things that are so witty, and I appreciate that. But I love all of that. But I want to tell you, the best thing we can realize is the fact that the church is responsible for some of the things that's going on right now. Now, like again, when I say church, I'm not talking about King Mountain. I'm not talking about Richlands. I'm not talking about the West Side. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about people that call themselves Christians, and they have the cross over the door, cross over the sea, up on their ceiling or something, or on the wall. Amen. They claim to be a followers of Jesus, and yet they've diluted the word of God. They've watered it down. They've explained it away until it doesn't have anything as far as any weight concern, amen, like it was when they started. If every church, amen, would stay with what they started with, most of the churches would be holiest churches. Did you know that? Amen? I ain't a very good preacher, but that's the best I can do. Amen. So when I look at this, you look at this. He sent his word and healed them. Preach the word. Be it an in season, out season. Huh? The Bible said that in the last days, perilous times would come. The Bible said that there would be doctrines that would be held up by the church that's been promoted by devils themselves. Demons will inspire men. Amen. And they'll say, this is what God wants. I know it doesn't agree with the Bible, but this is what God wants. But I want to tell you, when God sees a need, he knows how to meet that need. I was looking at something, and I hope you won't mind if I'll do it. But do you remember in the book of Matthew in the 13th chapter, verses 51 and 52, Jesus had just told them some parables. Parables of buried treasure, the parable of pearls of great price, parable of the large net, and all those parables he told. And then Jesus said to them, have you understood all these things? And they said to him, yea, Lord. And if I understand what the Greek scholars tell me, when he said that, he didn't mean, do you fully understand? But he said, do you get the drift? Do you get the drift of what I'm talking about? And they said, yeah. And if you don't understand me this morning, and listen, it isn't because I'm so deep you don't understand. It's because I failed to explain myself. That's all it is. It's not my depth. If you don't understand, say he didn't explain it right. If he explained it, I understood it. I believe that. I believe you're just being kind to me, but I really believe that I'm not that deep. I'm not at all. Amen. When Jesus said, he said, that said he unto them, therefore every scribe that is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. He's telling them that when this new kingdom, this new move of grace, or what you want to call it, comes in, when the Holy Ghost falls, amen, you're going to bring out things that's never been seen before. Hallelujah. How would you like to be serving the Lord right now and Malachi be all you had to go? Just when you come to Malachi, it'd be the end of it. And then you say, well, we know we love Jesus. Well, we have no scriptures from Paul, nothing from Peter, nothing from James, nothing from John, nothing from Jude. You see what I'm saying? The thing that makes us a heritage for us is the fact that God gave word. The Bible said, remember what it said? The Bible said, God also bearing them with us, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. You know, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first beginning to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them with us, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. In other words, God equipped that new bunch of people when the Holy Ghost fell all the day of Pentecost. He equipped them with the means to go out and promote the gospel. Amen. If the word spoken by his angels is steadfast, never transgression and disobedience received a just a recompense reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The Lord spoke it, and it was confirmed by his men that heard him. Amen. He said, you'll bring out things new and old. You'll take the old, you'll show us the new. You'll take the old and you'll show us how it compares. And thank God for that. And so whenever the time came, amen, they started preaching after the day of Pentecost. They had a message that stirred the world because God was confirming it with signs following. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he kept them showing them. The word was preached. Amen. The Holy Ghost fell and the church was promoted and blessed. Amen. As long as they stayed with the word of God. But then when you see it, the time comes when they begin to dilute the word. They begin to get away from the word. They begin to say, we're more important than God. And what we decide is what God decides. And when they do those things, we lose the blessing of God. Amen?
Yes, we do.
Now, this may not be something you believe. I don't know. But I think you will. But I was looking at this, how that in the early days of the church history, in its infancy, how that God bear them record. How God showed them. How the Lord, he said, it's more important. Angels gave the message to Moses. Moses gave it to the people. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us our message. And then he confirmed it by his followers as they wrote things new and old, compared the new with the old. And then when that time came, amen, the Bible said, but the thing that you want to realize, how important is man? The Bible said, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come. The Bible said, and Paul wrote to the Corinthians, said, we'll judge angels, we'll judge the world. Huh? You see what I'm saying? This is an important thing to realize, that what we're looking at right here this morning is God's cream of the crop. I'm not trying to make you exalted or feel above anybody else, but I'm simply saying, amen, that the Bible said the angels gave that, but angels didn't receive that message, amen, that God was going to put the world under them. He put it under man's feet. He gave it into our hands to do what we should do for the Lord. I hope I'm making that plain to you. I'm hoping you understand it, amen. The Bible said, but we see man, we see man. Amen. It was man that testified. It was man that he glorified. It was man that he lifted up. And it's still man that's been looked upon today. And I don't care what the world leaders do and what have you. Amen. I just want to tell you something. They're not there except by the mind of God. And they're there as a result of some of the actions of our church. And we need to realize we need to take some responsibility upon our shoulders and say, Lord, we have sinned. We have failed you. We need to get back to where we once were. Now, I see a connection here, but I don't know if you will or not. But whenever the 20th century came, around 1900, some just a little before, we started having an outpouring of the Holy Ghost like we'd never seen, as far as I can tell, brethren, since the day of Pentecost. You know of any other time when he poured it out like he did here? But what in the world was going on? Whenever he gave that first outpouring, the word was going out to Gentiles that knew nothing about the word. He needed something to equip them for the challenges that was going to face them. And he equipped them with the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And they went out and faced all the criticism. They faced all the resistance. They faced the force of Rome's armies. But when they got through, everywhere there was a soldier, there was a saint. Hallelujah. Amen. They'd permeated, if that's the word I want to use, they had infiltrated and throughout all the Roman Empire, taking the message. And churches were born. Hallelujah. And people were saved simply by these men that God equipped them because of the challenges they were going to face. When the 20th century came along, my mother was born in 1899, yes. And so she remembered whenever, you know, there's just horses and buggies. Of course, later they invented automobiles. But look at where we went from the time of 1900 to the time of half the century. We were flying planes. We had astronauts. We had things like we'd never seen before. Hallelujah. And God wanted to equip his preachers with something that would fix them to where they could meet the challenges that they were going to face. You know, don't buy one, but you see someone smoking and they take out a pack of cigarettes, if you look, it'll say, warning, surgeons general have determined this could be harmful to your health, you know. You know? Well, isn't that wonderful? The only thing is, 50 years before they ever come to that conclusion, there were Holy Ghost-filled preachers preaching against the use of tobacco. They made people mad. Sometimes it split the church. But they told them the truth, didn't they? Huh? No doubt about it. Amen. 50 years before they ever come to the conclusion how harmful this was. We had Holy Ghost. Why am I saying this? Because I'm telling you, to meet the new challenges this age, God used men of God or filled with the Holy Ghost to warn us when we didn't have any idea. I didn't have no idea when I was a boy using tobacco. I'd never heard it's bad for, you know. In fact, your doctors on the radio when after the Second World War, doctors, you know, these doctors, more doctors use Camels than any other cigarette. You don't hear them ads anymore, do you? Huh? Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Huh? I walk a mile for a Camel. You know, all that stuff. Just all kinds of ads. And all of a sudden, it's suddenly taboo. In fact, I had a friend, Brother Melvin's mother, had got burned. And she was in the hospital. And the doctor told Brother Melvin, he said, this woman would live if she hadn't been a user of tobacco. But said, you can't grow new skin when you use tobacco. And she died. Had a friend just the other day got burned badly, a young man. And the doctor told him, said, you must give up smoking. He wasn't burned terribly bad, but had a pretty bad burn. Said, you got to give it up. When my son was operated on, they did skin graft on him. The doctor come in and said to him, he told the doctor how much he appreciated what I'd done for him. He said, can you do anything else for me? He said, I can do a lot of things for you if you'll quit smoking. He said, I ain't going to quit. He dismissed him, sent him home. But you see, before that ever happened, men that were filled with the Holy Ghost stood up and declared, it's wrong, it's wrong. The Bible says, if any man defile this temple, him will God destroy. Huh? And God knew and told his people to tell them. My grandfather was a Baptist preacher. He used tobacco. I'm a holiness preacher. I don't use tobacco. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I'm not saying everybody went to hell for using tobacco. I'm not saying it. I'm simply saying the grief and misery that tobacco caused. Amen, could have been avoided by great and large if people would just listen what Holy Ghost men were saying when they were in the pulpit. That's what I'm trying to say. Amen. When they were warning us, they were warning us against the dangers of it. Amen. And then along come the days which caused even more problems when the Holy Ghost-filled preachers began to preach against TV. How enticing it was. You could not keep your eyes, you know, and moving. You got that movement to catch your eyes. You can't help that. Amen. And so preacher got up and said, and there wasn't anything on that. In fact, some of you, I hate to tell you this, but some of you are probably looking at some of those little movies at home. Anyway, but it may lead you into something deeper. Hallelujah. But whenever they were watching, this may not be all right, but this is how I learned to preach. This is how they preached when I got saved. Yeah. This is how my brother taught me in my Sunday school class. Later changed, but I didn't change. Once I got it convinced in my heart, I felt like there was something wrong. And you know, when you think about how innocent it was innocent. That TV, amen, you couldn't use the word hell unless you're a preacher on that TV. You couldn't use any cursing at all. But I wrote down my notes here, look at the film, but I said, don't look, amen, don't look. At the filth that's on there today. But before this ever came to the place to where they were promoting such filth and ungodliness and wickedness, amen? Praise the Lord. Somebody under the influence of the Holy Ghost got up and preached, said, stay away from that, amen. It'll ruin you. It'll cause you to be lost if you aren't careful. Stay away from that. And the people responded, it's got a knob. you saying that, Brother Charles, because I'm trying to tell you we have sowed to the wind and we're reaping the whirlwind. And again, I'm not preaching just you. I'm talking about the church itself. I'm talking about every church this morning that says we are a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you that in the beginning of the 20th century, God ordained men and anointed men, amen, to go out and preach against things that nobody, later on, now I realize, later on they teared it to the stream. They started trying to figure out what else they could preach against. Huh? But it said here for the king not to go to the right hand or the left hand. He said he was to have a copy. His copy was to be just like the priests and the Levites. In other words, whatever the preachers are using, you use that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't get you a new translation. Stay with that one. Amen. I wish I could preach this to you. I wish I could. Amen. Listen. The Bible says this. You know, do you that feel like it's too restrictive? You know, and we feel like this is the book we ought to read. The Bible said in Daniel 12 and 10, many shall be purified, made white, and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. I just looked at that word, understand, and one of the translations of that, or one of the interpretations of it, I guess I should say, not translation. But, you know, sometimes it means different things, and that's just the way our English language is. But one thing said, pay attention. The wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall pay any attention. But the righteous will pay attention. They say, how is this affecting me spiritually? I don't just stay here on TV. Amen. I don't hurt your feelings about it or anything like that. But when I first got saved, I didn't know. Amen. It seemed like rather innocent. Amen. And after all, who don't like wrestling and boxing and, you know, and cowboys and all that stuff? But what I couldn't understand was when I went and watched that, I never did own one, but when I'd go somewhere where they had one, I'd watch it. I'd come home and have to pray. I felt dirty. I felt unclean. I couldn't understand why. Amen. But I can see now why, but I didn't know then why. I'm simply saying that's the reason why God gave us an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, was because of the fact there was going to be such a turn. There was going to be such a move in understanding and science and technology. Amen. We're going to have the leadership of the Holy Ghost to keep us from going astray and losing the victory in our soul. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm down my last notes. I hope that's helping you. Hallelujah. I'm preaching on the fact, does God care? He gave us his word, and he gave us the good Holy Ghost because he cares. Because he cares. Amen. He gave us that because he cares. Hallelujah. You know, look at this, and this is not going to help you any either. You know, because of this book of God, men wanted to look like men, and women wanted to look like women. Because, you know, back in Deuteronomy 22 and 5, Deuteronomy 22 and 5, the Bible said, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to man, neither shall a man put on that a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination to the Lord. And when you realize everybody wore robes back then, and yet God said, I want you to be careful to maintain distinctions between the men and the women. And that was said, you're not standing on your feet and shouting and running. But anyway, but I'm just preaching what I felt like the Lord wanted me to preach. Amen. He wanted a distinction between them. And then Paul wrote in the book of Corinthians, if any man hath long hair, hath a glory unto her. For a long hair is given to her, for a hair was given to her for a covering. If man hath the head covered, it's a shame. Huh? Men were supposed to look like men. Women were supposed to look like women. Now somebody said, well, John Wesley had long hair. Yeah, but the women that was around him didn't have any cut hair. You know what I mean? As far as Noah, when I say any, not till we know of. It was a different story. But they maintained that distinction. Does it bother you that we have a, what is it, edict? Is that what you call it from the president? That we should have transgender bathrooms for our children in public school? Does that bother you in at all? Does it bother you any that men think they should dress like? And listen, that when we look at that, does that bother you in at all? Could it possibly be because of the fact that we as a church has failed to maintain distinctions, and now the world has responded with not finding any distinction? Amen. That's not good preaching, is it? But I'm trying to preach a message on 2016. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, I don't even want to mention this because I have so many friends, whatever, that's involved in it. But I'll tell you something. Amen. If we could figure out how many people have divorced and remarried and how many people have problems in the home simply because of Facebook, I don't know if we'd even want to go there, huh? I don't have one, so I can't tell you anything about it. I don't know anything about it. But it's as simple as that. And I realize it's a good means of communication. I understand that. I understand it's fine for communication, what have you. But I'm telling you, it seems like to me it's involving people's secrets and things that they don't need to talk about. And it causes a lot of gossip. And I'm just simply saying, amen, Lord, give us men and women. And I'm too old even if they become a part of it. But God, give us an army of young men and women that are anointed the Holy Ghost to stand up and help guide us through these troublesome times. I'm about through. What is man that thou mindful? Now, I'll read this again tomorrow, so I'm going to read it now. Luke 17:28, likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. And I was reading Genesis 13:13, where it says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And then I got a hold of Adam Clark. I want to see what he said because he wrote about 200 years ago. And he was expounding on this verse. He took that the men of Sodom are wicked. And here's what he said. He broke it down. And it's from a root word to mean to break in pieces, destroy and afflict, meaning persons who broke the established order of things. Destroyed and confounded the distinctions between right and wrong, and afflicted and tormented both themselves and others. That was written 200 years ago. And he said that was a word that means persons broke the established order of things. The rules that we went by for hundreds of years have been stood on their head. Amen? The rules that we've gone by for hundreds of years have been stood on the head. The ideas that we had, amen, for, what is it, 1/10? No, 1% of 1/10, whatever it is. Just few. Few are making the rules for many now. And you can get in trouble bad. You know, I heard over in Oregon where this one teacher, she won $60,000 because she sued because she suddenly decided she ought to be addressed as I don't know what, but not a woman. And they failed and they called her Miss, and just like they always had when she was teaching there. And she sued and got $60,000 because they didn't address her. She wanted to be addressed in the male gender type. I forget what they said, but they wanted, she got $60,000. Do you think about it? You could lose your farm just for saying hello, ma'am. Huh? Yeah. Now, isn't that something? You say, Brother Charles, you're out of line. No, I'm not out of line. I'm telling you, crazy things are happening. And Adam Clark said that when these homosexuals took over Sodom and Gomorrah, amen, they turned things upside down. And everything, they made their own rules, and everybody went by. Am I wearing you out? Am I wearing you out? I'm trying to preach you. The Bible says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And the only thing I can see to help us in this hour is say, Lord, have mercy on us. We have failed. Amen. You know, when Daniel prayed, he didn't pray just for himself, but he put himself in with those that had failed and prayed that God would give them help. Amen. He put himself. Daniel was a righteous man. Daniel, the only thing that could find fault with him, he prayed too much. Amen, as far as I can tell. But when he prayed in that, he said he put himself in with those that were failing. And I'll tell you, I feel like, amen, at a time when we realize other churches aren't repenting, I feel like it'd be good for us if we would repent and say, oh, God, we're failing. We don't want to fail. We want to stand true for you. Would you help us this hour and send your word and heal this old land one more time. Give us a revival that's spread across the country because of the word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. To realize that possibly we could change this thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To realize the power. One to put 1,000 to flight. Two have put 10,000 to flight. What have we got here today? 100 and some? 100 and some. Amen. Amen. 50 times 10,000. Are we talking about 1,000,000? I don't know, something like that. Hallelujah. We could turn rich lands upside down.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Just by revival here. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. Let's worship him sincerely. Let's praise him. Let's enjoy his presence. I feel he's near to us now. He's encouraging us, amen, to repent for those that are around us and for our own sins. And I feel like he's talking to us right now. He's wanting us to seek him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not his will that needs you perish, but all come to repentance. Hallelujah. I'd like to see a revival in this rich lands area. I'd like to see it stir every heart. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Get a hold of that old Baptist, that Presbyterian Church of God, whoever it may be, and they might say, Lord, we've wandered far from God. Now we're coming home. Could you just find you a place of prayer? Kneel where you're at. Bow your head. I don't care how you pray.